realizing the importance of doing it. This morning, by the time we finish talking about it, oh Lord, my Father, my God, we will not be ashamed of the gospel. We will freely share our testimony because there will be something to talk about in our lives. You are the one who makes all the difference. You make all the difference in our lives in Jesus' name. And our testimony will never be destroyed. That I used to know God, but I no longer know him, will not be our portion. We will do it to the point of reward. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Sharing testimony. I mean, it's a very common thing. It's a common talk. We talk about sharing testimony and so on. So today, I believe that the fact that we are talking about it, despite the fact that we do it every day, that God still wants us to pick one or two things out of it. And our memory verse is taken from John chapter 4, verse 39. John chapter 4 is in our bulletin. John chapter 4, verse 39. Can we all go? The book of John chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Let's go again. John chapter 4, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Praise the Lord. I'm sure we know the account of the story here. But baby, before we go on it, I mean, going into it, I've prepared one or two things that just one or two things I wanted to share with us based on the... based on some of the discussion we had before I go into it. We talked about the sincere meek of the word, and I was trying to share with us the fact that God's name depicts the provision. I mean, provision, not just provision. It's in the form of milk. I mean, the way it's been expressed has been in form of milk. That God is all sufficient God. So some people rightly in the congregation identify that the name of God that depicts that is El Shaddai. And so I decided to bring it out and break it down so we understand. So commonly we know that El Shaddai is God who is enough, the more than enough God. And the Dai actually means enough. And the Hebrews saying, the belief of the Hebrew people was that when God actually created heaven and earth, after he's spoken the earth into existence, that in obedience to the word of God, those things were created, and they kept expanding until God said, die. So until God said, enough. And he put a full stop to it. They just obeyed him. And then the Shad actually means breaths. Then Shaddai, breaths. So is God of the breasts or God the breasted one? So it testifies of his provisions. The fact that, and the completeness of the breast milk for a child depicts the completeness of God's provision for us as well. God is able to supply our need in Jesus' name. The same God who said enough, that God that is enough, that can put a stop to a thing, will put a stop to every work of the enemy in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I say he will put a stop to the work of the enemy in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. So that's El Shaddai for us, because I promised us last week also. The other thing is a pity that Elgin is not here. We had a discussion about, we're talking about abortion and some of the justification that people are giving. So, the Hebrew word shiliya, is actually depicts the baby with the amniotic fluid and the sac it contains, shiliya. So, sheli means to belong, and ya it's Yahweh. Like we say, hallelujah. Hallelujah is praise. Yah is Yahweh. So, praise, hallelujah, Yahweh, which is praise Yahweh. So, in other words, it says, I belong to God. I belong to God. So, right from conception, the child, from the day one that is a dot in the mom, actually belongs to God. That's why the prophets of God testified, said, look, right from the time I was in my mother's womb, the Lord knew me, and he has called me. So, we are not mere happenstance. We are designed. King David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed. We are proposed. We are created. We are called. From that very moment, there was conception. So, it actually means I belong to God. And that is why the prophets rightly identified that their call has been from when they were in their mother's womb. So God knew everyone from their mother's womb. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans 11, 29, it's a common verse that we know. Amen. Oh, I like that. For the gifts and calling of God are what? Irrevocable. So if he's called you from your child, from when you are, you know, just a dot in your mother's womb, that same call is still on your life today. And you know what? When God sends somebody to go and do something, if he misses the way, it's just like Jonah. You know when he missed the way, what happened? He went back. He had to retrace his step and do what God told him to do. So, in other words, once God gives an instruction, it's still the same. So, God will not say, look, I called you as an evangelist 5 years ago, and you are no longer an evangelist this year. You know, that's why I find it interesting when people say, look, I'm retired from the ministry. The Bible says they call. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You know, you say, I'm retired from the ministry. You cannot retire from the ministry. It's not possible. Because once God has called you, he's called you. Do you know any of the people of God in the Bible, any of the prophets that God called that retired? No. The only time he will retire you is when we are about to pass away. Anytime he tells somebody, he say, go and prepare your house to do this. You know, prepare your house and ask this person to take your place. Then you are ready to die. Everybody that he did that to. So, Celia, you have been appointed from your mother's womb to do what he wants you to do. And you cannot but fulfill the call of God upon your life. Praise the Lord. So, going further on, remember we are on sharing testimony. You can tie it in. You can tie it in. What I've just shared with you. God is the great provider. God has known you from your mother's womb and has put his call upon you, and the call of God upon your life is irrevocable. So, in other words, we have to keep telling people about him. Those of us who have known, we cannot have any reason why we should stop telling people about him. Now, let's quickly look at testimony definitions. It's a form of evidence obtained from a witness attesting to the truth of a matter. It's a form of evidence obtained from a witness attesting to the truth of a matter. We are going to look at what testimony really means, you know, along the line. So in other words, the testimony has to be true. So each time you testify of something, you are saying that is the truth that you know. But sometimes it is possible to give testimony that is not true. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. Because the way I look at testimony is that, we'll look at, we'll see it as we go along. But just Let's just look at this. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So in other words, Ananias actually came to give a testimony. But his testimony was not true. So the legal definition of a testimony is that it has to be the truth. And of course, we know what happened to him. So it is very important for us as Christians that our testimonies are true. There's no adding to it. There's no taking from it. It's very crucial. So if the Lord has used us to heal headache, don't go and tell people that the lame walked. If the Lord has used us, you know, to minister to people's needs, don't go and tell people what God has not done through you. In other words, for example, if you have not been to a point where you are able to resist the devil, you go somewhere, they give you a drink or something, and you drink, and then because you want to feel good among brethren, you say, when they gave it to me, I said, no, I did this. That's not a correct testimony. So, where you have not accepted something, just let it be known that that is the truth. Testimony, it has to be true. The other definition of testimony is that inward belief or outward profession of faith or of personal religious experience. If you look at Psalm 119 verse 129, it talks about it as a kind of faith that you hold within. But for us, what is important is that there has to be an outward profession. It's very crucial. We'll see as we go along. So, my understanding of testimony is this. As I go through the Word of God, is that it may relate to salvation experience. So we tell people how we became born again, how we became saved. The full gospel, businessmen fellowship, that has been a very powerful weapon that God has used to bring people to the fold there. So salvation experience. Relationship experience. This is very crucial to me because sometimes we tend to misunderstand things as children of God. Let's look at the same Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. Acts 5, 40 to 41. Praise the Lord. So we know this story very well. When the apostles were caught and beaten, you know, for preaching, doing miracles. And what did the apostles do? They went back home to the other people. And what did they do? They praised, they rejoiced. For what? That they were counted worthy, even to be beaten for Christ, to suffer shame. So, the point I want to make there is this. It is more of the relationship they have with God that they are celebrating. So, it is not only when there is something like, you know, when there is some physical, material provisions and so on. So we celebrate our relationship. We testify as to our relationship with God. If it were to be other people, you know, some people, if during the process of doing it, you got beaten, they say, maybe God hasn't called you. That's why you are flogged. You know, Paul said he suffered shipwreck. He was beaten. How many lashes did he say he was? Safe one. I can't remember the... That's 39. So he had 39 strokes of the cane, all in the name of God. If it's today, if we get beaten that way, they say, no, maybe you didn't have God's call, you didn't hear God properly. So it's more our relationship with God that we celebrate, that we talk about, you know. And then sometimes we talk about specific experience. The material thing is it's just a physical manifestation. of that power, that relationship, you know, with God that we are celebrating. Praise the Lord. The emphasis is on the relationship and power of God, not the gifts per se. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's look at Psalm 145, verse 11. Let's be quick. We still have to finish at 10:30. Please, let's be quick. Psalm 145, verse 11. So we'll speak of the glory of the kingdom of God and his power. So when we give testimony, that's what we are talking about. The glory of the kingdom of God and the power of God. It is not about us. It is not about the material thing that God has provided. It is his glory. It is his power. It is also, testimony is also intended to thank and praise God, inspire others, convert or strengthen their belief. Look at where we read, but I want us to read from John chapter 4, verse 39 to 42. There's something I want to bring out there. John 4, 39 to 42. Okay. Maybe I should read from mine here. You see, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus, because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." So, what I want to bring out there is this. Our testimony is basically to invite somebody to God. Or our testimony may serve the purpose of inviting somebody to God. Like I said down here, it's a veritable source of introduction to Jesus. And as soon as those people got introduced, what then happens is that they started hearing from Jesus themselves. So they now came to a point where they were saying, "Look, it is not just, we are no longer relying on your testimony now. We have heard him ourselves." So, in a way, if we testify to people, the people will move beyond just our testimony and they'll begin to hear Jesus. So it's very crucial. Let's quickly read Psalm 66, verse 16. Psalm 66, 16. Quick. Psalm 66, verse 16. Oh, those who fear God. So it's not just for unbelievers. So those of us who know Christ, he said, let's come together. Let's hear what, let's declare what God has done. So it will strengthen our beliefs. It will inspire us, you know. Let's look at Psalm 26, verse 7. Praise the Lord. So, with the voice of thanksgiving. So when we come, we're also thanking him as we give these testimonies. We're also thanking God. Like I said, it's a veritable source of introduction to Jesus. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 46. Psalm 119, verse 46. Psalm 119, yes. Praise the Lord. So, I will introduce you even to kings. I will introduce you to children. I will introduce you to adults. I will introduce you to women. I will introduce you to men. And I will not be what? I will not be ashamed. So, it's a way of introducing God. You can also read Mark 5, 18 and 19. Praise the Lord. So, we introduce Jesus through our testimony to our relatives, to our friends, to people we know and people we don't know. Everyone is supposed to cover the length and the breadth of our lives. You know, in fact, if God is our daily experience, we cannot but share him. Because that's what we'll be talking about, because that's what we know. So, the power of testimony. Of course, it brings joy. When there is a testimony, it brings joy and increase people's faith. It brings joy and increase the faith of the hearers. Isn't it? That's why Jesus sent the man to go home. Tell your people what the Lord has done for you. You know, of course, they will rejoice with him. And then, of course, it will bring forth faith in them. Psalm 119, verse 111. Praise the Lord. They are the rejoicing of my heart. They bring joy to me, you know. And of course, it's a weapon of warfare and gives victory. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know. So that is it. So if we, everyone who will overcome, it is not the material thing that God has provided that overcomes. It is the faith in him that overcomes, that will make us stand unto the end. And testimony also marks revival. When there's a revival in a place, testimony will abound. You see God doing great and mighty things. Remember, we talked last week. We talked about the fact that King David was imploring God. He said, bring your revival once again, that your people may do what? May rejoice. So that the people of God may do what? May rejoice. In Psalm 86. So, where there is revival, you know, the power of God will be manifest. There will be testimony there. Acts chapter 8, verse 8. I mean, when revival came, praise the Lord. So, when the apostles stepped there, preached the gospel, if you read the preceding verses, people were healed, there were miracles, things were happening, there was great joy in that city. It's a mark of revival. And of course, testimony, the giving of testimony increases wisdom. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. I still have 2 minutes, so. Praise the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise. You know, it will make us wise in Jesus' name. How does it make us wise? The fool, when the fool achieves something, he thinks it's his strength. He will rule God out of it. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you share testimony with people, you know, the pride of man will go. You will realize that you are but insignificant. That God is the one in control. The only one who is wise is the one who fears God. So it increases wisdom. And of course, testimony can serve as a payment of vow. You know, you remember Samuel, when the parents had him. You know, they testified to the glory of God. And sometimes some of us, when we are looking unto God, we say, Lord, if you do this for me, I'm going to stand before the congregation of the people of God and I'm going to testify to your goodness. I'm going to talk about what you have done for my life. You know, so you come out and give a testimony. You know, it can be a payment for a vow. In conclusion, your testimony has great impact to play on your miracles and the life of others who need such miracles and wonders. It is the act of witnessing Christ in a simple way without Bible knowledge. It's particularly good for people who are yet, those of us who are not yet versed in the Bible. You know, maybe we can't remember any particular verse or chapter or something that we can say, go to John, so and so and so. But one thing you can do is this. We can be like the blind man. He probably didn't know the scripture. What did he say? He said, one thing I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. It doesn't matter. You may know book, or you may know Hebrew Bible, Italian Bible, Spanish. I don't know that one. But one thing I know is that I was blind 5 minutes ago. And when I met this man, I now see. So it's a powerful instrument for telling about God. Praise the Lord. In just 2 minutes, has anyone got something to say about testimony and maybe how God has used testimony in your life and in your ministry to do something? 30 minutes.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, when we run evangelism courses, and different people would be not always that confident to share what the Bible says, their testimony would always be something that they could go out straight away and share. And always people would come back and say, I could just share this. And it didn't matter what the person said, if they didn't believe, they couldn't deny my experience. The testimony was very powerful.
Amen. Any other person want to talk about how testimony have been? Because it's very crucial. And as a church, as a people, we need, like I said to us the other week, when people come here to worship with us, it should not be me, my wife, who will be following people up alone. Of course, we'll follow them up. Let every member of the church follow up these individuals. If all you can do is to just give a testimony of what God is doing in your life, you will see. You know, you will see what God will do in those lives. So it's very important. Any other person want to share, you know, how God has used testimony to bless them or bless others that they know before we pray? Or we'll pray in a second. Okay.
Praise the Lord. One thing I know is that testimony also increases people's faith, you know. A lot of people may have lost hope, but a lot of times when they hear testimonies, I mean, it increases their faith. And the things they thought could never happen, when they see it happen in other people's life, I mean, generally, you see them saying, okay, God, if you could do it for this person, then you can also do it for me. So testimony increases faith and allows people to also receive from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So when we come out here to give testimony, we want to increase each other's faith. You know, you talk about it and you've been looking unto God for some time and it looks like God, you haven't heard from him. You know, when you hear somebody's testimony, just click onto it and ask God, the Lord who did this. That was what David used to defeat Goliath. He said, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. And God did it. God will do it in your life in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up? One prayer that I've always prayed in my life is this, and I want us to pray that prayer, that your testimony will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. And I think it's very crucial. It's our ability to witness to God, about God. It's also our ability to talk about our experience with God. When it comes to the point that our testimony is destroyed, it means we have lost out. It means we are no longer in right standing with God. So ask that the enemy will never be able to destroy your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I pray that my testimony will never be destroyed. I can only go higher, never downward, O Lord. Never coming down. I can only go higher in you. I can only know you more and more, more and more, more and more, more and more. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. Oh, yes, Lord. As you affirm every testimony here, Lord, the testimony of knowing you, the testimony of salvation, the testimony of daily receiving from you, the testimony of your blessings, the testimony of your power and your glory in each life. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.